Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout the Bible, there's a lot of phrases that have these two words together, one another. Often there's instructions that God gives, Jesus gives, to love one another. And this is really the command that Jesus gave, to love one another as he has loved us. Jesus gave this command on the night that he was betrayed, some of his last words with his disciples. And so I kind of have it highlighted in white. How many times does Jesus say, love one another? Three. All right, you can read. You put on your glasses today. Very good. All right. You know, three times he says, love one another. This is the new command I have for you. And if you love one another, all men will see that you are my disciples. And I think this is really the key here of this whole sermon series, is that as the world watches us, they watch us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, and our lives are meant to display, reflect the love of Jesus Christ. And so what does this mean? What does this look like when we love one another? Because it's easy to say, well, I love you, but what does this look like? And so I want to kind of have this in your mind as we seek to love one another so that the world sees Jesus in us, this acronym of FACES, that it means that we forgive one another. It means that we accept one another. It means that we confess and pray for one another, encourage one another, and submit to one another. And so for the next today and four more weeks, we're gonna go through these and explore what it means to one another, all right? And so we're going to look about what does this love look like so that the world may see the face of Jesus in us and through us. And so as we think about forgiving, I've heard it said that to dwell above with saints we love, oh, that will be the glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's another story, right? You know, it's easy to think, well, it'll all be perfect in heaven, but the truth is, it's here together, that's where it's hard work, all right? To dwell together with different people, different experiences, different expectations, different preferences, how do you make it all work? We're the body of Christ, connected and commanded to love one another. There's another story that I heard about a young boy who was saying prayers with his mom at night. And the little boy was praying for all of his family members. And the mom noticed that he didn't pray for his brother. And so he said, well, son, why didn't you pray for your brother Cliff? And the boy just looked at his mom. Well, Cliff hit me today. And the mom said, well, don't you know Jesus said you should love your enemies? And the little boy says, well, I can love my enemies, but I can't love my brother, all right? You know, there's sometimes, and, you know, it's easy to say, well, I can love my enemies, but those people who are closest to us in the body of Christ, how do we get along? How do we love one another, especially when it comes to forgiveness? Because this is really at the core of our Christianity. This is one of the instructions, one of the tenets, one of the ways that we love one another that makes Christianity different than any other religion in this world is this whole idea of forgiveness. In our passage today from Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And I just wonder, you know, who was Peter's brother? His brother was Andrew. I wonder if Andrew was just bugging him today. You know, if Andrew was just kind of, he knew how to push Peter's buttons. If you have siblings, all right, I'm a great button pusher. All right, I loved pushing my sister's button. And I think we still kind of go back and forth today. But I can just see Andrew pushing Peter's button. Oh, you remember you did that? Oh, yeah, you say that, but you're all big and puffy, but you're not. You know, just can you see that? And Peter is like, man, Jesus, Andrew's getting underneath my skin. How many times do I have to forgive my brother? Up to seven times? And now it's important here to know that in the standard of his day, the Jewish taught that three was a good number to forgive people. All right, and this comes from a bad understanding of Amos chapter 1, where it says, "This is what the Lord says: for the three sins of Damascus, even four, I will not turn back my wrath." And so, you know, if God limits his forgiveness to three or four, then we aren't any better than God, right? And so their understanding was, well, three times you forgive. And so how many times did Peter think he should forgive? Seven. So double three and add one for good measure. That should be pretty good, right? That should be pretty good. But Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Other translations say 70 times 70 times. That's a lot. That's a lot more than three or four or 70. I think at the heart of Peter's question, it's a question maybe we all wrestle with. The real question is, why should I forgive at all? Have you ever thought that? Why should I forgive at all? So Jesus tells a story. Jesus tells a story about a debt that one man owed the king. This man was called before the master to give account for his debt, and his debt was 10,000 talents. Okay, that just sounds like a lot, doesn't it? In reality, a talent was about 75 pounds of silver or gold, or about 16 years' wages. Okay, so 10,000 talents is how many years' wages? All right, math people, 16,000. Very, very good. No, 160,000. That's a lot of years of wages. That's not a small debt. Okay, and I think that's one of the things you read this story and say, well, 10,000 talents, what does that mean? All right, that's a large debt. And so the king said, I'm going to sell you and your wife and your children to pay off this debt. And what does the man say? Lord, have pity on me. Just be patient. I will pay it back. Is there any way he can pay that back? No, there's no way he can pay that back. And yet the master took pity on him, canceled the entire debt, and let him go. Imagine canceling that kind of debt and let him go at great cost to the king. And so this servant, freed from this massive debt, I don't know how he accumulated that larger debt, by the way, but he had this huge debt, and he went out, and we're told that he found a fellow friend and choked him because he wanted his 100 denarii. A denarii is about one day's wage, about 4 grams of silver. What did everybody, all the servants, think when they saw this man demanding this? And then when the man couldn't, said, you know, Lord, just be patient with me, he threw this man into prison. He refused. He threw this man into prison until he could pay off this debt. And I think about that. What Jesus is teaching us is that we must forgive, because anything less is hypocritical. We as Christians who have been forgiven are called to forgive in the same way that God has forgiven us. Because the reality is, we are all God's debtors. Okay. Just for a second, I'm going to do something kind of weird, all right? Can you close your eyes? Close your eyes. Imagine, if you will, all of the hurts that you have caused others. Their weights on your back. The harsh words you've used. The selfishness that's taking you away from others. The pain you've caused. Imagine the things that you should have done, but you didn't. Imagine your rebellion against God. The weight of the sins you have broken. What does that feel like? What does that look like? The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can open your eyes. And when you open your eyes, I want you to see this. That debt that you pictured has been paid. That debt has been canceled. That debt has been taken care of as Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Your debt has been canceled. And in the same way that our debt has been canceled, Jesus says, go out and forgive others. And so, mindful of the debt that's been canceled for us, we should be the best forgivers there are, right? Christians should be the people that should just go out and not have any grudges or hold anything against anybody. The churches should be just the most harmonious place, right? And why do we laugh? Because it's not always. We've got work to do, don't we? But to forgive is part of who we are. And part of why we do this is we must forgive because of the torment which an unforgiving spirit inflicts upon us. You know, sometimes I read that passage that talks about how this man has turned over to torturers until he paid back the debt he owed. And I think, well, that's kind of mean. Why would God have somebody be tortured? When we don't forgive someone, who are we torturing? Ourselves, don't we? When we don't forgive someone, we're holding on to that bitterness, that rage, that anger, that desire to get even, and it eats away at us, it tortures us, it weighs us down, it twists our spirit. Jesus knows that the best way not to be tortured in that way is to forgive our brother, to let go of the debts that somebody owes us. When we don't, it tortures us. You know, forgiveness occurs when we stop saying, look at what you're doing to me. Instead, we're saying, what can I do to relieve your hurt? Because I think there's a truth that it's one of those sayings that just sticks in my mind. Hurt people hurt people. Get that? Hurt people hurt people. Often when we hurt others, it's because we're hurting ourselves in some way. And so I think when we're hurt, our natural response is we want to get back. But what if instead of saying, look at what you're doing to me, we let our eyes be lifted to the cross and to the other person and say, what can I do to relieve your hurt? How can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I love you? This begins with forgiveness. So we must forgive to show God's love to the world. Because the world's watching. Maybe even more important than the world is watching, the kids that came up here, they're watching, aren't they? They're watching you and me and us and the church. How do we relate? I think one of the things that drives a lot of young people from the church today is sometimes the church itself. That the people who are adults, often we don't forgive one another. Or sometimes we treat our kids, instead of forgiving them and loving them the way that we have been loved, we hold them to a higher standard than maybe what we ourselves can even achieve. But to show God's love and say, you know, I mess up too. Will you forgive me? It could be a powerful expression of our faith to our kids, to the world, so that that next generation experiences, puts into practice the love of Jesus Christ in forgiveness. And so I want to challenge you. Love one another, that the world may know that Christ is in you and that Christ is in this world. May we forgive one another as we have been forgiven. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, forgiveness is something that we wrestle with. It's hard work. Lord, for the things that we do that when we don't forgive, Lord, we know you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to take away our sin, that if we but turn to you, if we but repent, you wash our sin away. Help us, Lord, to take the forgiveness we have received and so freely give it to others, that others in this world, our families, our coworkers, our schoolmates, they may experience your love through our forgiveness. Allow this to be a testimony, a light, your face in the presence of this world, that all people may see Jesus and know that he lives even today. We pray this in his name, and all God's people said, amen. At this time, let us, as we have so freely received from God, let us give freely to him in our offering and our collections today.